Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent-choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is September 18th, 2015, and we're going to talk about families, especially successful families. My guest is Dr. Todd Corelli. Good afternoon, Todd. Good to have you here.
Hello, Lon. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Todd is he received his Ph.D. in clinical psychology from Brigham Young University, and for the past 14 years has been working around the country and internationally as an independent psychologist for referring professionals in therapeutic boarding schools, residential treatment centers, and therapeutic wilderness programs. So the topic today is five habits of successful families. So why don't, Todd, explain a little bit, what do you mean by a successful family? How would you know or recognize a successful family?
Well, that's it's a difficult thing to really define, but I think a successful family is a family that where everybody feels comfortable, they feel close with each other, you know, they're able to work out problems with each other. I think so much of it has to do with the relationships that we have with each other, and, you know, my work primarily as a psychologist is in doing evaluations with kids, but my real love is working with families, and you know, if you've got a good relationship with your spouse and you've got good relationships with your kids, then I think pretty much anything in life is manageable. But when those relationships are poor, or when you're struggling in those relationships, then you know, it's hard to enjoy other things in life.
Okay.
So.
Well, the next question is going to be how you get there, but that's easier said than done, I'm sure, on that. So how do you get to a successful family? And I think that's where these five habits come in. So could you briefly go over the five habits, and then we'll back up and go through each one in a little bit more detail. So what are the five habits that you have?
Sure. So the five habits that I have for a successful family include, number one, a family that plays together. You know, like I said earlier, when it all comes down to it, I think it's the relationships that we have with each other. And we have to spend good quality time. There's nothing that can substitute for quality time with each other, whether that's with our spouse or that's with our kids. So that's number one. Number two, the second quality is that a family always has to come first. And I think that's a motto that we should live by. So we have to set our priorities around that so that nothing can come before our family. Number three is communication. Everybody talks about communication. I think as parents, a lot of communication actually needs to be listening. You know, we spend a lot of time talking, but I think communication primarily is founded on listening. Number four, I think that adult conversations primarily need to be between adults, and kids don't need to be a part of those. And we can talk about that in a minute if you'd like. And then number five is somehow cultivating the sense in our families that together we can go through anything, we can handle anything. So any kind of difficulty that one of us is having or that our kids are having, we can always rely on each other for support to get through that.
Okay, well, let's go back to the first one, the family that plays together. And one thing you mentioned in there, talk about what do you mean by play together, and the issue that comes up periodically is quality time versus quantity. It used to be quantity, and now people said, in my perspective, people particularly coming out of mothers that wanted to have it all. They wanted to be career women. They wanted to be mothers and take care of the family and all that. And they started talking about quality time. Well, I can't spend all day with the kids, but I can have good quality time. Could you talk about that a little bit in that whole play? Because play is be quality time.
Well, quantity is important. You can't substitute quantity, but I'll just use myself as an example. I travel extensively for my job, and I don't have the quantity that I wish that I had. And one of the things that I do have control over is the quality, and I do think that's the more important factor for sure. Mm-hmm. Playing together, you know, I actually think dinners together is crucial. That's hard for a lot of families. A lot of families aren't coming home till parents aren't coming home from their jobs till really late. But dinner time is in my mind, it's sort of a sacred, almost sacred sort of hour that you can spend together, just being together,
cooking together. No cell phones, I presume, at the table.
No cell phones, nothing, you know. This is a time where you can talk, you can listen, you can goof around, you can joke around, even cleaning up together. There's just something about having that time together on a consistent basis. And I'll tell you, I think that you'll learn a lot from your kids in sort of those casual moments around the dinner table than you could ever learn when you're trying to really ask them how they're doing.
Okay, we'll have time to talk on all of these. So the second one is family first. Explain that a little bit, because, you know, your situation, a lot of traveling, it's pretty difficult to put family first in the quantity-quality time area.
It's very difficult to put it first quantity, for sure. But I think kids know if they're a priority to you. I can only use myself as an example. I'm not around quite a bit. When I am around, I try to be really present. But, you know, if my kids are having a problem, if my wife is having a problem, it doesn't really matter where I'm at. I'll drop whatever I'm doing to help them. And a lot of times that might have to be on a phone. Sometimes we FaceTime or we Skype together so that I can see them. I do lots of those FaceTime and Skypes, even in 2-3 minute segments, just so that I can make these little connections. And, you know, if your family's a priority and you're regularly checking in with them and trying to make connections with them, which I think is really critical, is making those connections, they'll know. They'll know that they're a priority. And I think kids knowing that they're a priority is really critical.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can see when you're traveling just... 2 or 3 minutes, just I'm thinking of you, tell them that, can go an awfully long ways in saying that you've heard my thoughts. Okay, well, communication.
Just, yeah.
Talking about communication, number three.
I think communication, like I said earlier, I think a big mistake that we make as parents in communication is that we spend a lot of time talking ourselves. You know, I'll just use another example from my life. I've got a daughter who tends to be very quiet, keeps things to herself, pretty shy. And if I try to spend a lot of time asking her questions or drilling her about her life, I'm going to get a lot of one-word responses. One of the things that I've found is that if I have to run an errand and I bring her with me and we're in the car together and I'm quiet, all of a sudden, I can't shut her up. She just talks and talks and talks and talks and talks. So there's ways that we can get our kids to open up to us, and I think the majority of our time should be spent listening, because, again, that's making connections with them so that later, when we do have important things to say, you know, we'll have some influence with them, and they'll pay attention to what we have to say.
You know, it's fascinating you mentioned the car, because we had our grandson a few years ago living with us for about a year and a half, and that's what my wife told me. She would be taken to the car, and that's when he would talk and start opening up. Otherwise, it was, you almost had to get a crowbar out. And then I've heard that from other people, and it seems like if you want to talk to a kid, put him in a car and go on an errand or something.
Right. I'm not kidding you. With this one particular daughter of mine, if we get in a car, she will talk nonstop. It's almost too much sometimes, but I learn all kinds of things about her just from doing that.
Well, maybe she's making up for lost time, and somehow that's comfortable.
Right.
And all
right.
Those things she wanted to say was a little too shy to say or something. Okay,
right.
And
it's,
then you mentioned...
It's easier for her. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. But mm-hmm. Whatever you do, got to have that communication, and it doesn't have to be any big deal or anything, just what happened.
Right.
Yeah, just talk and a little bit what you're feeling. Okay, number four, you meant the adults need to talk to each other. Is that what you're saying on that?
Well, there are certain topics that kids don't need to hear. There's two ways of looking at this. Any kind of major stresses in the family, if there are marital issues, if there are financial issues, if there's any number of issues that kids don't necessarily have to be a part of. So I think that we need to be protective of them. At the same time, I do think it's good for us as parents to model problem solving with our kids. And so if my wife and I have a disagreement, I'm not necessarily going to grab her and run to the other room so that we can work it out. It depends on the nature of the disagreement. If it's something pretty severe or pretty significant or something that's been ongoing, I might be pretty private about that. But, 90% of our disagreements are relatively minor, and we work through them, and I think it's good for kids to see that you can work through disagreements.
Or maybe even participate at times.
Right.
So that sort of goes back to that communication, but then on a topic rather than just to background chit-chat. Okay, and then number five, family can go through anything, and that seems to be sort of a summary of all these other things.
Right. We all go through difficult things in our families. We've been through a number of pretty significant, whatever you want to call it, trials or whatever you want to call it, very difficult times over the last decade. And one of the things that I always say to my wife is, it's so much better going through these things with her and with our kids. And when you love each other and you support each other, it just makes you feel like you can go through difficult times together. But again, it comes back to the relationships that we have with each other. When everybody feels safe and they feel that they're being, I don't know if it's being paid attention to or just that they're feeling connected with each other, it makes going through difficult things much easier.
My takeaway from that is that if you get, or anybody, but say if you, as an individual, get into a tight situation, one inclination is sort of clam up and not talk about it and be to yourself.
Right.
And I think what you're saying is that's the time to bring the loved ones into it.
Well, it really is. And one thing we all know in this mental health industry that we work in is that the more you can sort of talk through your feelings, the better you're going to be. And climbing up is not usually a good response to difficult situations. And even encouraging kids, if they start talking about little things, but they're big things to them. So last night my daughter started talking to me about I was tucking her into bed and she was talking about a difficult friendship that she has in her junior high. And no big deal in the grand scheme of things, but I'm glad that she can bring up these little things with me, because you can tell that it's just good for her to be able to talk through these things and get them off her chest. I don't even have to give her any advice, really.
That's almost like in the church through time immemorial or therapies. Get somebody to talk. If you get it off your chest, that is half the solution.
It really is. Yeah, it really is.
And so that's helpful. Okay, well, we about ran out of time, but we might have to have you back again, because I can see there's about five different topics we could do a short segment on out of this. Those are all big ones,
well,
but
you
did well in getting over and summarizing each one of them in just a few words.
Great, thank you. I'd love to talk anytime. This is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Okay, great. Well, I'll give you about a half a minute, sort of the commercial break type of thing. Talk about what you do, and if somebody is interested in your services or to find out more about it, how they could get a hold of you.
Okay, you bet. When would you like me to do that?
Well, right now.
About half
a minute.
So
a few words.
Okay, so real quickly, I'm a clinical psychologist. My primary activity is doing psychological evaluations for young people, teenagers and adolescents, or adolescents and young adults, primarily in treatment programs. But I do go to lots of homes with the goal of really trying to clarify what their strengths and weaknesses are so that we can develop a plan to help them. Most, the large majority of these kids are really, really struggling. Mm-hmm. And so we use this testing to help develop a plan to get them unstuck, I suppose.
Okay, so to any parents listening, if you have a kid that says you just don't understand what's going on, maybe Todd would be the person to call. So how would they get a hold of you? Your phone number,
so you
email?
You can telephone me at 801-842-8262, or you can reach me via email, which is my first name, Todd, T-O-D-D, dot Corelli, C-O-R-E-L-L-I, @gmail.com.
Okay, and your website is, I believe, www.drtoddcorelli.com, right?
That's it.
All right, well, this
is... If you can spell Corelli, one R and two L's, then you'll be there.
Okay, fantastic. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with Dr. Todd Corelli about the 5 habits of successful families. Well, thank you very much. Good to talk to you, and I hope we can do this again on some of these subtopics we talked about, Todd.
Okay, thanks for having me, Lon.